Today is Pauline Weir, who's at the Kingston St. Andrew Public Health Department in Kingston, Jamaica. Welcome, Kelly.
Good evening. Before I begin, I'd like to, the folks standing in the back there, enough seats up front if you want to come up front, on both sides. Okay, I have no relationship to disclose. And these are scenes from Jamaica. And for the presentation, the outline, we're going to talk about introduction to malaria, history of malaria in Jamaica, the current malaria outbreak, malaria control strategies that we have used, our achievements and challenges, and the way forward. And this is what is malaria, the potential life-threatening disease, which is caused by the Plasmodium parasite, which is transmitted by the female Anopheles mosquito. And we have four types. Globally, this is just a global picture. We won't stay on it too long. This is outside of the country, and this is Jamaica right here. Jamaica, malaria was eradicated in Jamaica we had our last case in 1961, and we were declared malaria-free by the World Health Organization in 1965. Since then, we have an average of between 2 to 14 imported cases, usually coming from sub-Saharan Africa, from South and Central America, from Haiti, or from India. And this is a curve of our imported cases from 1992. But you notice in 2004, we had 141 imported cases, and in 2005, we had 88 imported cases. Now you'll wonder what caused all this. We had several boatloads of Haitians that came to Jamaica, and they landed on the northeast and the southeastern coast of Jamaica. And that year, in 2004, 141 of them were diagnosed as being positive with malaria, and 88 in 2005. But those are the ones that we found, so we don't know how many, because remember, Jamaica is an island, and they can come into any little corner of Jamaica, and we miss them. Our outbreak. Our emergency response was activated on November 30th, 2006, after we had identified our first two cases of malaria, which was our first two cases in 46 years. Since then, we have identified 372 other cases, with 342 of them confined to the inner city areas of Kingston, the capital city, and they're distributed like this: 345 in Kingston, 22 in a nearby parish in St. Catherine, 3 and all these others. But what we can tell you is that all the cases we found were all linked to our affected area. They had either been to church, been to the market, slept there overnight, something. So this is just a graphical display. This case in particular was one that we diagnosed in Kingston, and he ran away to Hanover, so he became a Hanover case. Now this is a comparison. The blue line was the one I discussed before with the imported cases, and this is how we relate our local cases with the imported. During the first part of the outbreak, we did GIS mapping, and it's just an idea of what our GIS mapping looked like, with the red dots being the malaria cases for 2006. The yellow dots were ones for 2007, and this green dot here is our index case. And this is our EpiMap from the beginning of the outbreak to the end of 2007. And we still have a few sporadic cases. This is our distribution by age and gender. And you'll notice that the age group 10 to 19 and 20 to 39 has the largest amount, approximately 268 of our cases. This is also the age group that tend to be out at night. They are the ones who hang out on the street. They dress very skimpily and everything. So that was a problem we had to retrain people to get them to wear long sleeve, to wear socks, to not to go out late at night, to use insect repellent, etc., etc. Now, community, for our outbreak, we did a lot of community work. And this is indicative of the kind of work that we did. For during this time, we visited over 281,000 households. Some of these were revisited households, and we interviewed over 200,000 households. So we usually interview the head of the household. We gave out health alert cards, which were left with our phone numbers so people could call us. And if we went to a house and we didn't see anybody, we left a health alert card as well. We identified approximately about 10,000 fever cases. We did blood sampling for over 30,000 people. And even though we had only 374 malaria cases, we still treated 286 cases because we treated on suspicion. Once we saw you and you fit our case diagnosis, our case definition, we took the sampling and we started the treatment. Consequently, most of our confirmed cases, by the time we got back the result, they had already completed treatment. The vector. About 1,500 mosquito larvae were collected and sent from the affected area and sent for testing, and 1,425 were identified as Anopheles albemannus, 95%. A small amount of Anopheles grumbel was also identified. Now, the Anopheles breeding site, we have since the outbreak identified 900 island-wide, that's to date, with 142 in Kingston, 218 St. Catherine nearby, and these are mainly in rivers, drains, and ground pool water. But they also, at construction sites, you know, they dig to put in the blocks and the rainfall, and they have not gone any further. The tractor rolls over and the crevices that are left, because we have a lot of rain, and the ground pool water. Now, for our malaria control, we had early case definition, prompt treatment of cases. We also did vector control, sensitization of the medical community, which was very important, and public education, as well as intersectoral collaboration. For early case definition, identification, we did a case definition, which was any person with fever plus one or more of the following: headache, chills, vomiting, or any person with a history of traveling to or living in the affected area. We did door-to-door community fever surveillance of cases at physicians and both private and public health facilities. Active hospital surveillance and public education, visiting their doctor or health facilities once they had fever. Now, Jamaica was unfortunate in that we had all the things. We had the man, the environment, and we always had the vector. We just didn't have the parasite. Consequently, we were very vigilant whenever we found an imported case. That person was immediately put in hospital, treated on the net. We went to where they had visited. It's like we took a compass and we marked out about a quarter mile from their house, a diameter of a half a mile, and we visited all the houses in that area. We did larvicidal work, so we looked for mosquito larvae, and then we did adulticidal work as well. For early case identification, we also alerted the schools and the workplaces in the area. And all confirmed cases and contacts were interviewed, blood taken, and suspected cases treated or referred to hospital where necessary. And we also identified priority samples for reading, for quick reading at the National Public Health Lab. Those were samples for people who were contacts of cases, as well as people who had fever and had visited or lived in the affected area. We also have in our primary health care centers, any person who came in with fever, regardless of, even if you thought they had tonsillitis or they had gastroenteritis, we asked that they be tested for malaria, and we got two of our cases by that method. Prompt treatment, all suspected cases identified on the fields, health centers, accident and emergency department that lived or have a travel history to the affected area were treated on first contact after blood was taken, and we did what we call the DOTS method. We stood there, we gave them the pill, we watched them swallow it. So it meant that when our staff went out, they went out with a bag, with water, drink, spice bun, biscuits, cakes. We took out everything to enter because the tablets taste bad. We all confirmed cases identified were located as quickly as possible. We did it exactly like if you had any kind of infectious case. So we sent a vehicle out with a public health nurse, a public health inspector, or environmental inspector, as well as a phlebotomist. And they all went out, and we took them to hospital ourselves. And those persons who had gametocytes remained in hospital until they have 3 consecutive negative smear. We developed a treatment protocol. On our first day, we did the chloroquine 600 milligrams, spironolactone 45 milligrams, second day, third day, and the dose was adjusted for the children according to age and weight. And the children's hospital also prepared a liquid form for us for the children. We also developed a chloroquine resistant regime, but we didn't have to use it because we didn't find any resistant strain. Post-treatment assessment, we did a day 7 smear. That's 7 days after the initial treatment. And if anybody had gametocytes, we did a day 14 smear. So we retreated and did a day 14 smear. All our day 14 smears were negative, and everybody had day 21 smear, and all were negative. For vector control, we identification and elimination of our anopheles breeding site. This is one of our canals that run beside the road. And okay, I've been told I have 3 minutes to go. Another canal, man-made, possible breeding site. We use chemicals for larvicidal work, oil and abate, semisus. For adulticidal work, we use malathion 5% for thermal application and 95% for ULV, the ultra-low volume, and actellic. This is one of our guys doing a dipping to look for larvae. A closer look, needing 20/20 vision. A little spray oiling. Adulticidal work. We did sensitization of our population. And this is one of our school competition where the kids, they imagine themselves to be the mosquito, you know, and spoke like the mosquito, and you had people talking about thou shalt not kill. Our public education that continued, and they're telling people to try to stay in overnight. This is one of our flyers that we use, another flyer, one you can find in the back. Our achievement, the outbreak has been confirmed to a small geographical area of 2 parishes, and the outbreak has allowed health workers access to areas that formerly they had problems going into. All the cases, confirmed cases, have been successfully treated, and all cases have been identified and contact tracing done. Because of the outbreak, we have had improved laboratory capacity. Initially, the reading of the slides were assisted by Caribbean Epidemiological Center, Pan American Health Organization, Guyana, and Cuba. CDC read some of our slides for us, and CDC did genotyping and identified Plasmodium falciparum similar to the parasite found in Haiti. At present, all our slides are read in Jamaica. This is Jamaica, and this is how close Haiti is to us. So you can see how easy it is for us to get this problem. Our challenges, our close community, violence, continued immigration of people from malaria endemic areas, whether legally or illegally. Our challenges continue, the geology of the affected area, high water table. Now our threats, the speed of international travel. We live very close to many places. Global warming and climate change. And if you, and this is a positive proof of global warming, we have come a far way. Climate change affects the distribution of the mosquito. It has caused mosquito to be in areas that formerly you didn't find them. So at the temperature at 20 degrees centigrade, it takes 23 days for the development of Plasmodium. But at 27 degrees centigrade, it is 10 days. And we have temperature of up to 34 degrees centigrade. So you can see where we have our problem. The way forward to end our answer malaria survey island-wide, continue our public education, our intersectoral collaboration, reestablishment of our national vector control program. And I'd like to acknowledge all these people. But I'd like to say that despite all the problems we have had, we have still been able to have the fastest man in the world.
Great, I love your presentation, it's very good.
Thank you.
I just have a question about the number of people you used to the 280,000 plus visits.
Okay.
How many people are involved in this?
Okay, what we did is staff members came in every day, and there are some days when we had as many as 300 staff members out on the road. And we took every category. What we did was we sort of like, we cut back on some of our other primary healthcare programs, and we just send the people out, the doctors, the nurses, the community health aide, the dentists, the dental nurses, everybody went out. In the affected area. Just in the affected area. So we got, in the initial part of the outbreak, we had health staff coming in from other parishes. So they did our day-to-day work, since we knew the community better, we were the ones who went out. So they went out in 30-seater minibuses, air-conditioned, so the bloodletting was done in the buses. But they went into the community. We had problems because sometimes you went to a house, they didn't want to let you in, they turn up their radio when they hear you knocking, they close the door in your face, they told you to get away, and we had all kinds of problems. But since this is a national effort and we're dependent on tourism, we had to do it.
I have two questions. The first is, what sort of outreach efforts are in place among the Asian refugees? Publish your materials
in print
as well.
No, the Haitians who came in, initially when they came in those big groups, they were kept in, they put them in nice places and so on. And then what we found, life was too good, you know? Then they were sent home. We started having people who had been sent back home coming. They were repeat visitors, so some of them had to be put in jail because we couldn't afford to have this, you know? So we have Haitian communities, but all the Haitians who live there now, most, they speak English as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we distributed mosquito nets, we distributed insecticide sprays, we distributed insect repellent with DEET, and it was insecticide treated nets as well. mainly in the affected areas.
I'm Carla Prince from Michigan. I was in Jamaica doing work in St. Thomas in the spring of 2007. Mm-hmm. One of your colleagues gave a presentation talking about the all-night dance party.
Yes.
A place where there was a lot of transmission going on. Did you do special work?
Yes, what we did, first of all, the government, we had to stop all of those. They were stopped, and then if they needed to have one, they had to write to us for special permission, giving us enough time for the vector control workers to go out to do larvicidal work, to do spraying, and we recommended that the organizers distributed insect repellent to the patrons, but encourage the patrons to wear proper clothing, et cetera, et cetera. So we did have those.
Did you see much hemolysis with your use of perfect plant in this population?
If what?
Did you see much hemolysis, any blood in your...
No, we had no, we were, I'll just keep my hands closed. We had none. We had none.
Do you have any conflict with the upper ministry of the government because of the potential impact of forcing transmission?
Yes, we had. I didn't hear that one.
Oh, but did you have any kind of attempts to stop you from publicizing the outbreak because of the impact of tourism?
No. We, as soon as, if I'm understanding what you say, as soon as the cases were notified, the Minister of Health declared the outbreak. And the HD, one of my colleagues from the ministry is here, and she wants to say something.
I just want to add that it was declared a national outbreak, and the Prime Minister and all ministers got involved. And in fact, we had to submit daily reports to the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. And they were very, very supportive. And
and as soon as we had one case, everybody in Ireland knew, because it was announced daily. One second. Yes.
The other thing is that part of that might have contributed towards the outbreak.
I didn't hear you.
Any drug resistant issue?
No, we didn't find any, but we did have a regime just in case we developed drug resistance.
Did you have to do any massive spraying by planes or anything like that?
No, we didn't do the spraying by planes. We went into each area and we developed a schedule. As soon as we identified a case, we did spraying for 3 consecutive nights, then it was repeated every 7 days. And we did that in all the affected areas, and then we did a cycle of 14 to 21 days going back into the same area. But as soon as a case was identified, that was repeated.
Did you do anything with stagnant water?
We did those. We went, we treated the water. And if there's broken pipes, if we got involved with the water commission, so they were assisting as well to fix the broken mains.
I'll ask a question.
Uh-huh.
How do you decide how many resources to put into larvicide as opposed to adulticide?
my chief public health inspector is here, so he'll let you know.
because of the outbreak, we acted with all the resources we had. So we went and it was confined to an area where we had a lot of wetland. So we placed all our resources, 120 men, with a number of other people resources, and we did the source reduction.
What we did the larvicidal work in the mornings and the adulticidal work in the evenings. Yeah. Any other question?
Any landfilling procedures?
Any what?
Landfilling.
A few. We had to do a few. But it was mainly cleaning of the canals and so on, because once the water could run easily, and we had no problem. Okay, thank you very much.
Please join me in thanking all of our speakers. And